I think as of right now, that's all the questions that we have. So we're going to roll on with the next session. Again, at least for me, you know, thinking about the number of, you know, potential Windows users out there within 6 months or a year after launch, and thinking about the revenue potential for creating a $1 app and getting it in the hands of a couple hundred million people, sounds like a pretty important aspect of the platform. So with that in mind, I'm going to introduce Mr. Michael Johnson, and he's going to come out and walk us through the Windows Store. So MJ, take it away.
How are you guys doing today? Good. Awesome. So my name is Michael Johnson, and most people call me MJ, so we'll just go with MJ for today. So you guys already seen a lot of exciting stuff today, correct? Come on, get louder. You saw a lot of exciting stuff today, correct? All right. So now all of you guys are ready to take those current skills that you have, whether you're a JavaScript developer or a C# XAML developer, to build an app for the store, correct? All right. So you guys seem pretty excited about the session that already went, but I have to say I'm a brag about my session. I think my session is the best topic of the day. Why? It's really where we as Microsoft, we actually take all our money and put it where our mouth is. This is where we show you, the developers, the money. So to me, I think this is the best session. I think you guys are going to think this session is the best, because you actually get to see all of the power we're putting behind Windows 8 and the Windows Store. And since you all are developers, the cool thing about Windows 8, it's actually a platform, it's an incredible platform that allows you to take your existing skill set and reach millions and millions of customers worldwide. And I think that's a great opportunity that you will enjoy. So let's start talking about the store. What I want to try to cover today are five things that I feel are very unique to the Windows Store. I think this sets us apart from our competitors. The reason I feel it sets us apart from our competitors, because we're doing some unique things with the store. So the first one is designed for discovery. This is where we enable you to actually market your app in the store and focus 100% on your app, no distractions, and it's a good way for you to find new customers and for customers to find your apps. The next one is our reach. The reach with Windows platform. You guys heard them talking about it. Windows 7 have half a billion PCs. I'm not going to say 500 million or 600 million. I'm going to say half a billion, because half a billion sounds a lot more, because you're using the word billion. But that's a huge potential reach that you have available to you. The next one is the flexible business models. We allow you, the developer, to choose which way you want to market your app and how you want to market your app. And then this one I find very, very important, because we really want to make it very transparent of how you actually publish your app in the store. So we actually define a predictable process, and we give clear, concise app certification requirements. So for you as a developer, you have a great experience with publishing your app into the store, getting it from development to the store. And then the last one is really economics. This is why we're all here. I mean, I know you love Windows 8. I know you love development. But at the end of the day, how can you make money with those skill sets? So we're going to talk about the economics. So let's start with discovery. Again, I already kind of talked about discovery, of how we really make it very easy and very compelling with Windows 8 and the Windows Store for customers to discover your apps, purchase your apps, try your apps. So the best way to show it is I'm just going to actually do a demo of the store. So before I jump into the demo, how many people already experienced and played with Windows 8? Show of hands. It's not bad. So how many of you guys actually played with the store and actually got great experience with the store? All right, for those who haven't, you'll get to see what I mean by your apps actually taking center stage and taking over the screen. So as you see here, I go to the start screen, and you can see Windows 8 Store. The store is just a Windows 8 Metro app, just like all the other Metros app. It has a live tile, and the live tile is giving me updates. So you can see I have 8 updates for apps. So as soon as I go in the store, the thing that you see, there's no distractions. All you see is the apps. Everything is staring right at you, in your face. And the cool thing about it, it's a great experience. It's an enjoyable experience. For me as a user, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's neat. I like browsing it. It's a great experience. The cool thing of it is we offer certain server ways for you to search for apps. So I can swipe out the charm bar going from the left, right, and I can actually search for an app. So let's search for pirates. And you can see here it actually brings up Pirates Love Daisies. So a user can easily, quickly find the search and find for an app if a friend say, hey, this is a great app. The other thing is we have it organized in categories. And so I can scroll. So when the store fills up with apps, it's going to be easy for customers to navigate and find your apps in certain different ways. So the other thing is we actually bring apps up front. We have an editorial process to where we promote the apps from a popularity standpoint. So we have, you can see here, we have all-star apps, we have new releases, top paid apps, and top free apps. So if your apps is in one of those top categories, users immediately could go to the spotlight session and download them. We do the same thing in the categories. So if you look at the game category, we actually bring up one of the popular apps, and we actually do top free apps, and we also do top paid apps. It's just right now, all the apps in the Windows 8 consumer preview, they are free for download. But once Windows 8 release, you'll be able to have customers buy or try your app. So if I actually drill into the game category, I can actually do even more. We have here filters and stuff like that, so I can search on subcategories. So if I just wanted to choose adventures, or I can search on prices, so if it's free, free and trial, or paid apps. And then you can actually search based on high ratings. You can based on newest, what's the newest app that is out there. So you really get to drill down and actually navigate through the apps. So then the other cool thing is this is what your app will display in the store. So again, there's no distractions. Your app takes center stage. There's little to no distractions, little to no Chrome taking up the real estate of your app. And the first thing that stands out to you is a beautiful screenshot of the app. And here we use a flip view so I can have multiple screenshots and I can actually scroll through the app and get an experience of what that app is going to look like and what the integration of that app. Also, you can see here the install button, but again, you'll see buy and try when the actual release happened. So, and then I give description to the user. One of the most important features are reviews. For customers, they're going to look at the reviews to see what other customers in the community are saying about your app. And for you as a developer, this is one of the most important features. You want to encourage reviews because it actually helps you improve on your apps, build new features, and find out what customers are using the most or what they're using the less, what you need to do more of, or what you need to stop doing in your app to actually make it very popular. So that's kind of the experience of the store. What do you guys think? Is that a great experience? Would you love browsing that and just getting apps as a customer? And that's what you got to think as a developer. What's going to make those customers want to see my app? And that's what you have. You have all that real estate to do that. All right, so the next thing we're going to talk about is reach. And I know I said the store is like the best topic of the day, but the reach that we have, and a lot of people talked about it, we have millions and millions of devices. So when you think about it, Windows 7 and all of the devices out there that has the Windows Certified logo could be upgraded and run Windows 8. And everybody think, hey, I need a tablet. No, everything you see I'm doing and everything you saw other people doing all day today, it's a touch-first experience, but with keyboard and mouse. Everything I'm doing with touch, I can do with keyboard and mouse. You can put this on the current laptops you already have that doesn't have a touch screen. So you think of all of those PCs that's currently out there worldwide, and all of the markets that we have available, that's what's going to be exposed to you for reach. So when you think about that, and we put that in perspective, you actually have 200 markets that your app can be published in and people could buy. So you'll be actually, you're able to reach 200 different unique markets to market your app and publish your app out. The other thing is 100 languages. So 100 different languages for people to download your app in. So to me, that alone is huge. But then you think like, okay, how am I going to deal with all of that? Do I have to go worry about all of the banking stuff and go work with all of these different countries? We actually have local pricing in 70 different markets. And we'll take care of a lot of that transaction for you behind the scenes. So again, Windows is going to do a lot of the work for you, and you actually have the opportunity to capitalize on this with existing skills you already have. So if it was up to me, I would be paying a lot of attention to the guys today. I'll be thinking like, okay, I'm going to come back after dinner and join the guys for the Coding the Expert because I really want to get my app going. I really want to have my app first and ready for when Windows is released because this is a phenomenal opportunity for you as a developer to make money. The next thing is the business models. And I know you guys are technical. This was a hard talk, and people's like, Mike, people's not going to listen to you. And as you saw, Jerry was cool. Jerry is fabulous. He was talking all the technical stuff that you guys love. I think he made the statement of nerd candy. Well, this is green candy. This is about money. This is what paying the bills. This is for you to retire and sit on the beach and keep reading that nerd candy. So let's talk about the business model. We have different ways you can actually put your app in the market. One is you could do a one-time purchase, and you could do a time-based trial, or you could do a feature-based trial. The other one is we have purchase over time, where you can actually do in-app purchases. So you can do like an expiring feature in the app, or you can have it just purchase up for a long period of time, persistent time. The one thing that, to me, the biggest part that stands out that I think we are very unique with, you can use your own existing e-commerce engine. So a lot of you guys may have websites where you actually take in transactions and doing stuff. You may have some of you guys may have an iOS app. Some of you guys may have an Android app. If you already have an existing relationship or existing e-commerce engine that you want to use, you can actually use that to take all your in-app purchases. And the best thing about that, and one of the cool things about that, you get to keep 100% of the revenue. Seriously. Did you guys? I wanted more excitement. You get to keep 100% of the revenue. I mean, that's a lot of money. So think about it. If you took all of your transactions, you made your app free in the store. People download your app. All your services and all your transactions are happening within your app. Microsoft doesn't take a share of that. You, the developer, get 100% of that. So tell all your friends about it. Go build your app. The next piece is ad supported. Same thing. We allow you to use your own existing ad platform that you already have a relationship with. So if you use an ad platform out there, we won't take a cut of that neither. That's yours to keep. So 100% of whatever you're getting with that ad platform based on the agreements you have with that provider, we won't take any of that. That's, again, that's yours, 100%. So if it's free, you get another 100% of that. So think about if you're doing something free and then you're doing an ad purchase, you're making hundreds, thousands, millions of dollars for free, and you get 100% of that. So let's talk about why trials matter. We actually, how many of you guys are familiar with Windows Phone? So Windows Phone has been out for a while, and we have actually a Windows Phone marketplace. And we got a lot of data from their success with trials. And one of the things that came back with are these numbers. If a person provided their app as a trial for the customer to download, that increased the download 70 times what it would normally be downloaded. So that's a huge increase by providing a trial. Of those that provided a trial, 10% of those actually converted from a trial app to a paid app. And of those that provided the trial, it increased their revenues by 10 times. So this is why trials are very, very important. And with Windows 8, we're making that very easy for you guys to take advantage of. How many of you guys are familiar with publishing apps today and have trial apps in the market? So not too many people show their hands, so this is a new thing to think about. And we offer two types of trials. We offer time-limited and a feature-based trial. So on the time-based trial, it's very simple and easy for you. You actually create your app, you publish your app up, you set a price, and you set a time. So if that's 7 days, you allow the user to download your entire app for 7 days, but then we'll handle that on the back in the store. We'll send the user, oh, you laugh because I hit the mic. I forgot the mic was there. I want to beat drums. Want to get everybody live. Actually, that sounded kind of cool for a second there, huh? So the time-based trials, you actually put your app up, and you have, say, let's set it for 7 days. You don't have to worry about going and checking and keeping track of that, saying, hey, this user downloaded the app. What's the time at? We're going to handle all of that from the OS perspective. And then once that expires, we're going to send a user a notification and say, hey, your trial for this app is over. You need to pay for it. And they could choose to buy it or not. So that's the power we get. Since none of you guys have that much experience with the trial, think about how easy that is. With a feature-based trial, it's very similar. They download your app, and you get them a subset of the features. And they play with the subset of the features. So let's think of a game, and you get them level 1 and level 2, and you get them hooked. and they want level 3 and 4, you charge them. So they get in a subset so that way they can play with your app and see what it's all about. Because a lot of people don't want to spend money on apps, especially if it's new to the market, you don't have reviews. So think about a trial, and maybe you do it till you get a lot of reviews and customers in the community are saying, hey, this app is great. You should go download this, right? You got to get a way to get them in there. Think of it as a lost leader, how car dealers get you on the car lot. They put an advertisement, say, hey, we got this truck for $7,000, and you get there, and the truck's gone. Oh, man, we just sold it. They never had it. I mean, really, they didn't. But, you know, hey, this you have it. You could do this. You can actually let them use them. So let's talk about how easy the time-based trial is. We kind of already talked about it. Simple. You set a price. You publish it up in the store. You choose the trial if it's never 1 day, 7 days, 30 days, and no code. The store, Windows 8, is going to handle everything else for you. With feature-based trial, it's very easy. You can see here a couple lines of code. I'm checking the store for license information to see if it's in trial mode. If it's in trial mode, I send a request to the store to say, purchase this app. And once they purchase this, or purchase this feature, once they purchase the feature, I come back, send a request, enable that feature that they purchased. So this will enable the features that they only get with paid versions. The other thing that we support is in-app purchases, which you guys heard me talk about. That's where you can use your own e-commerce engine, or you can use what we provide you in the store. Of course, if you use what we provide in the store, you don't get the 100%, but you get a great percentage, and we're going to talk about that in the economics. But when you use your own engine, you get 100%. So how easy it is for to use it in a store? And so this is one thing you have to weigh. Do you want to invest all of the work in your own engine, or do you want to take the benefits of the platform that we provide? Again, very simple code here. I'm reaching out to the store to pull the license information to see if it's active. And once the information comes back, it'll show, hey, I want to purchase this product, and then I enable that product. Doesn't that seem pretty simple? And, by the way, we're just going to do a demo. And the demo I'm going to use, you guys witnessed this, I think, in a couple of other talks, is a Contoso cookbook application, which is a sample application that you guys will get to build today, later at dinner, if you stay. And this will walk you through a lot of different labs that will get you all of the experience to build an app from beginning to ending and add a lot of the features that you saw earlier today from sharing contracts and things like that. So let me just switch and go. And so you see here I already have a tile. And let me see if this works. Yay. I have a tile on the desktop, so that's the Contoso cookbook app. And as you can see here, I'm not standing in between you guys and dinner, but I'm hungry. I typically don't eat before speaking, and this is making me hungry. But you can see here, so if I swipe from the right, I'm actually going to go to my charms bar, and I'm actually going to settings. The good thing about this is bringing up settings about my application. And on this screen, I have the About page. And so you can see what just happened now is, since I'm in the application, the store is actually being called once I run the application to send down information to say, hey, this application is still in trial version. So as you can see here, it's saying it's still in trial version. But and it also then it goes back and say, hey, do you want to provide the user a way to purchase this app? So it gives me a little button here with upgrade to the full version for $12.99. So if I click, I get a dialog box. Or a dialogue. The dialogue is going to give me the choice to say, okay, I want to purchase, or no, I changed my mind, I can cancel it, and stuff like that. So if I choose okay, I'm going to go ahead and hit okay. I get a successful transaction. So what's happening now, once I hit okay, it went to the store, say, hey, he made the purchase, processed the transaction, sends back to me a confirmation, say, hey, thanks for purchasing. Just the same general unique experience that you get with shopping carts experience today. But it was very simple using the Windows platform. So you saw the very little lines of code that you had to write for that. And so now if I scroll back, swipe back over to my charms bar, you can see if I go to settings and I go back to the about page, now it's telling me it's a full valid purchase app. It's no longer in trial. So isn't that kind of unique? And you don't have to write a whole lot of code for that. What do you guys think? All right. So I want to show you one more thing. We talked about in-app purchase. So if I scroll over and I go into, I'm kind of hungry for Italian food. I never really like standard meatloaf, so I'll try the Italian meatloaf. You see here when I go into the Italian recipe, actually let me take a step back just so you can see. I already purchased, this kind of just our little demo app, but some of the foods I already purchased, and you can see I have directions for actually creating the recipe. It gave me the ingredients, gave me pictures, got me excited, and it actually gave me directions. But when I go into the Italian, it doesn't give me the directions. So in order for me to get a direction, so this is actually your feature-based trial to a certain extent and your in-app purchases. So if I click on Purchase Italian Recipe, I get the same dialogue that we just saw. I'm going to go ahead and hit Continue, and what happens? I get the recipe. So the same transaction, in a sense, is going to say, hey, enable this feature, and then the store said, okay, he purchased the feature, now, okay, give him the recipe. And so this is all sample code that you guys will be able to go through the sample app at the end of the day. And that's how you can do in-app purchases. All right. So let's talk about advertisement. We already kind of hit on it again. So I'm going to hit on it again. We talked about it earlier. You can use your own platform or someone you already have a relationship with, or you can use Microsoft Advertisement. Of course, we already have an SDK that's available for you to use. And the cool thing about the SDK, you can go download it right today, and you can start building your app and integrating advertisements so when the store opens, you can actually publish it. One of the things we have big relationships with premium advertisers. So we're actually really pulling a lot of advertisers to come sign up with us to put ads out. The other thing, we work really hard to try to align the advertisements with your categories. And when you think about aligning them with your categories, we really want to just give users apps that are targeted to what your app is about. So when you really think about designing your app and then you put your app in a category, make sure you choose the right category because you want to use these apps to target the actual right user base so you can monetize and get the best of your return. The third thing is the APIs are very simple. And it's easy for you to take an ad banner and integrate it into your application. And we give you all of the flexibility of what type of ad banner you want to display. So we don't push things on you. So that's one of the benefits you get to Microsoft Ad Advertising. So three easy steps to get started. Download the ad SDK. Go online and activate your account and get an ID. And then once the store open, publish your app and everything lights up. And you'll be starting to make money with ads. Am I on time? Oh. So the next thing is let's talk about transparent terms. To me, this is... For you, the developer, we want to take the headache out of getting an app published to the market. We want to make it very simple. We want to make it just you submit your app and the process is there. There's no hidden spots. You know where what stages your application's in. So before you actually decide to submit your app, we also want to empower you. And so what we have is the Windows App Certification Test Kit that allow you to test your application, run your application through the same test that we'll do when you actually submit it to the store. The benefit you get using this test kit is you get immediate feedback on things that you need to improve, things that would normally fail through our process, you would be able to fix before you submit to the store. So this will make your process even faster when you actually go to submit it to the store. You already solved a lot of the problems based on this. The other piece is we give you a certification dashboard. So once you actually submit your application, uploaded it, you will actually be able to track the status and the stages of your application. And we try to our best to give you expectations and an estimate of each stage and the timing that each stage is going to take for your app to get published into the store. Then finally, once your app is published in the store, we give you a dashboard, a reporting dashboard. The good thing about this tells you about how your app is performing in the market, what type of transactions, what type of purchases, if you had in-app purchases. Also, it'll give you data on crashes and hangs on your application. What was the performance of your application? And it'll pull all of your customer feedback that was pushed on the reviews. So this allows you to get a whole holistic view of your app, to plan the next stage of your app, to make changes, to make improvements, and to fix things that users are complaining about, or to even increase things that they're loving to try to make your app more adopted, downloadable. So the last one, no restrictions for app categories. Meaning if you decide you want to do a mail app because we have a mail application, you can actually go and build a mail app. We're not going to block you because we have a mail app. So you can actually go and compete with some of the apps we already have in the store. There's no restrictions on that. So what do you guys think of that so far? Does it sound like a simple process? So how many of you guys ready to build a Windows 8 app? Come on. Everyone should raise their hands. I mean, everyone. Raise your hands. Come on. Clap them. All right. So I think we have, what, about 200, 250, 300 people here. So hopefully we'll see 300 some people stand with us after dinner, ready to make apps. We here. We ready to help you. We want to get it in the store. So let's talk about money. So, and I'm gonna be selfish. I know I said at the beginning that this was probably the best topic, but I'm just gonna get to the meat of it. This is why I say it's the best topic. It's about money. I mean, seriously, that's what we all think about. We go to work every day to get a paycheck. If you had all the money in the world, would you go to work? And I'm saying this, and my boss is standing there. My boss is Scott Kerfoot, the one who's getting whacked on the whacking tool. I'm gonna actually put an app in the store. And I want to make millions of dollars. But I'm going to probably still work for Microsoft because I enjoy the company. But, and there's a big but, I'm going to take more vacations and enjoy the beach. And I think Windows 8 platform allows us to do that. The Windows 8 store allows us to do that. The reach that we talked about allows us to do that. Now, the cool thing about it is once you get your app in the store, you start earning 70% of all of the transactions. If you're using our store processing and stuff like that, of course, the in-app stuff still applies. You get 100%. But you start. But once your app reaches $25,000 in revenue, you get 80%. So you're getting 80% of revenue off of your app in the store. And think about it. We just minimized a lot of the work you have to do. You saw how easy it was to do a trial base, a feature base, and things like that, and integrate with our ad. So we're doing a lot of the foundation for you. We're putting a lot of muscles behind this. So you should really think about it and take advantage of that. This is a huge opportunity for you. Pricing, you control the pricing. What do you want it to be, free? Or what do you want to do it for $1.49, which is the starting price? And it goes all the way up to, and I hate that number. I just want to say 1,000, but I was told, you can't say 1,000. It's one penny less. Oh, I forgot this was being recorded too, so I'm in trouble. So I really better get my app wrote now. So, and it's a tier model, so you can set the pricing. I see a lot of people writing. We're actually going to try to we're going to publish these PowerPoints and PDFs for you guys also. Now, that was my talk. I said five things. I covered all five. We talked about, what was the first one? The discovery, how easy it was for your app to be found, searchable. The one thing I forgot about in the discovery piece is the store is indexed by search engines. So users can actually go on the internet, type in the search bar, and search for your app, and it'll bring them to the store and let them download it. The second piece, you can actually publish it and market on your site. So you could drive traffic to your site and people could get it and download it, and it'll integrate to your site and download. The third is you can integrate with IE10 on Windows 8 with one line of markup that allows you to have it on the app bar. Second thing we talked about was the reach, because we have a global market. We have 200 markets, 100 different languages, and 70 different markets that could do transactions. The third thing we talked about, the flexible business model. So you could choose if you want to do free app, trial app, in-app purchasing, whether you want to use your own engine or advertisement. And then we talked about the easy process of developing your app, which these guys talked about all of the development stuff. They showed you the cool tools. They showed you Visual Studio. Visual Studio Express is free. You can go get that today and start building your app. We have a lot of sample codes that's going to come up from SDKs, samples that we have available that's going to come up in other sessions. So a lot of things we're giving you from out of the box that you can actually start. The other thing is from development to test, we give you a test tool to test your application so you can fix things before you actually submit them to the store. And then finally, we give you a process that make it very clear and concise. We give you guidelines that are like plain language that you can understand of what it takes to publish your app. So then we talked about the pricing model and economics of it. So what is this other thing? So let's talk about opportunities. And let's make this real. So we already said Windows have 500 million PCs out there. But again, I'm gonna say 500 million. because we're over the 500 million mark. We have a half a billion PCs. And when you think about that, that's tablets that we have like slates that we have like this, tablet laptops where we can flip them down, desktops, all of that. Anything with the Windows Certified logo could run Windows 8. So that's a huge reach. Now let's talk about and compare that with competitors. Android phone, and this is data from when we actually pulled the data. 234 million. Android tablets, 13 million. iPhone, 112 million. And let's just make it complete. iPad, 40 million, and then the Mac, 30 million. Okay, so you guys can see, if you do math real quick, and then you look at the 500, so let's just kind of make the math a little easier for you guys. And now let's make it even easier. Now, look at the circle of Windows and add those up and compare it to the opportunity that you have as a developer to reach Windows. We have half a billion PCs. It's the biggest single opportunity ever for you as a developer to take advantage of. What do you guys think? Come on, I wanted more excitement. I'm thinking like I'm gonna go make a lot of money. So I think you guys not seeing this is real. So let's think about that for a second. I want to make millions of dollars. I love Scott Kerfoot. We're going to be friends forever. But I want to make millions of dollars. And this is opportunity for me to make millions of dollars, the same as you. So think for a second. What would you do with $1 million? I'm like, yeah, and this today, $1 million kind of go fast. I don't know what I'd do with that, right? Okay, let's think about $5 million. So $5 million. And that sounds like, wow, that's a big stretch, but it's not. Think of you take 0.5% of the half a billion customers that you have access to reach. Think of it, 0.5%, that's 2.5 million. You put an app in the market for $2.49, you take your 80% of that, that's $5 million. And you only reached 0.5% of the opportunity. Does that make that real for you? $5 million. Who said, woo? Do it again. Louder. 0.5%. That's the opportunity you guys have. So, what's next? Take the time to learn much as you can about Windows 8 and the platform to build Metro apps. Join us for the Coding with Experts after dinner. And then, the most important piece, we got a lot of evangelists. We got them at the, what are we calling the thing? The slave bar? The device bar? All I could think of was bar. The device bar. We got evangelists going to be around. We have a lot of other Microsoft people. Connect with one of us so you can talk to us about your app, talk to us about your idea, and so we can help you and give you ideas about your app, get you started, point you in the right direction, but most of all, so you can learn how to publish your app into the store. And then I'm going to do summary. I'm not going to read these bullet points. I kind of already summarized. We talked about the broad reach we have, the flexible business model, the huge opportunity, the design and the discovery of apps first and apps at the center. And then we close it out with the money that you can make. This is a great opportunity for you guys. Seriously, I want to touch each one of you and take your name. And when I don't see an app in the store, when we release it, I'm going to come to your door and say, dude, what's going on? You land, if we call it, the man is still running you. So, with that, again, this is the most significant developer opportunity for you, ever. That's all I have.
Thank you, MJ.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now we spent the morning learning a little bit about Windows 8. Okay, we spent the morning learning a little bit about an opportunity or something. I guess MJ was talking about some kind of an opportunity. Okay, so now what I want everybody to do is I want you to put your hands up like this a little bit. Okay, I want you to flex your fingers like this. Okay, because now we're going to make a little bit of a transition. Now we're transitioning to where you're opening up your laptops and you're going to fire up Visual Studio and now we're going to start coding. Okay, so now we're going to get into that. Now the rest of the day is all developer tools. And to start with that, I'd like to introduce you to Jeremy Foster. Jeremy is coming to us from Seattle, flew all the way down here. He obviously brought the weather with him. It looked a little...
No, it's beautiful in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
When I left, it was like 80 in Seattle, and then I flew through the clouds to land in L.A.
That's okay. By 2 o'clock this afternoon, it'll be clear again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get coding, shall we?
Jeremy. All right. Thank you. How many people felt their wallets get warm when MJ was talking about the developer opportunity, huh? I know, I'm excited. I've got to go get an app in the store. Okay, so actually, I'm just going to switch over to my PC here. We're going to do a combination today of some slides and some actual coding. So are you guys thankful to actually put your hands on the keyboard? Who has Visual Studio running on their PC and open right now? See, I knew it. You guys are antsy. You're ready to start typing code. Don't worry. Just go ahead and put your finger on the curly brace, and you'll be able to press that really soon. Okay, so as Scott said, I'm Jeremy Foster. You can find me on Twitter at CodeFoster or at CodeFoster.com. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft, of course. There's my email address. And I'm focusing almost entirely on Windows 8 right now. I tend to work on the HTML JavaScript side of the house. Jerry, who you saw earlier, is more on the XAML side. But I'm having a great time with this because actually most of my industry experience is in web application development. So I actually was just in the industry not that long ago and working on applications that had a lot of scope, a lot of reach, and they had to work right, they had to work well, and it was on the web platform. So, of course, we spend every day with HTML, with JavaScript, got to do this right, got to do it every day. And now I get to take that skill set that I've built up and bring that into Windows 8 development. So it's just been a really cool process. So you've been hearing everybody say that Windows 8 is a great development platform, right? Now, for every great development platform, we're going to need some great development tooling. I don't have to convince you guys of this. You guys are developers, and you probably, if you're a developer, this is probably your happy place right here, right? Visual Studio. You don't want to be in the meeting at work. You want to be here. You want to have your hands on the keyboard, right? So we're going to be taking a look at Windows 8 from your perspective, from a developer's perspective. I'm going to give you a tour of the tools, Visual Studio 11 and Blend, which is packaged with Visual Studio 11. We're also going to look at another awesome resource that is the Windows Development Center at dev.windows.com. If you write one URL down, in my opinion, you should write down dev.windows.com because if you need to learn anything, go to dev.windows.com. It's the Windows Development Center. In fact, you can see that I've got it pinned to my start screen right here because I go there all the time. It's a great reference. Not only do you get the really in-depth stuff like the API reference and the reference for CSS properties and whatever you need, but you also get all of the lower level thing or the higher level things as well, like just descriptions of what the APIs do. And if I just want to integrate with the web camera, how do I get started doing that? So great reference there. Okay, so first we're going to look at, I'm going to take you back to the Windows 8 architecture diagram. I think you've probably seen this before, but if you're a developer, you need to know how all of this fits and where your Metro-style application development fits. And really, this section on WinRT APIs is at the core of it. Okay? Now, let me be clear. This is not Win32, and this is not .NET. This is a brand new set of APIs that's designed for modern application development. And it's designed for modern user experience as well because it actually has an asynchronous model that allows your applications to remain fast and fluid while calling into these APIs. And these APIs access the hardware underneath for you. Now, the real joy of this is that you get to choose your application, your language, in order to access the WinRT APIs. So if you come from the web stack, you can use HTML and JavaScript and you can access it. And the nice thing is that you still get all the inherent advantages of the language of your choice. So if you're using HTML and JavaScript, as was mentioned by one of our partners, you still get to call into any of the plethora of JavaScript libraries that are out there today. If you want to call into it using a .NET language, you can do that. You can use C#, you can use VB, and what we have for you is a tailored .NET profile that's made specifically for the Metro-style applications. If you're a C++ person, You can use C++ and you still get the inherent advantages that you get with C++. So for instance, you can call C components or C and C++ libraries, and we've got tailored for you a subset of the Win32 API that you can access. Okay? Now, this is important as well. On the right, desktop applications, all the stuff that you've been doing up until now, up until Windows-style applications were introduced, nothing goes away. You lose absolutely nothing. Okay, so I want to be really clear on that topic. You can still make everything that you made before, and in fact, with Windows 8, we're shipping .NET 4.5. So we're adding on to it, moving forward even in that space. Okay, the desktop does not go away. Let's start by looking at Visual Studio. Okay, we're going to be looking at a couple tools today, but we're going to start with Visual Studio. Now, first of all, Visual Studio is available right now in beta, and you can actually download the Express version, or you can download the Ultimate version and use that. Well, it's in beta. But going forward, Express is going to be free. And Express is actually an extremely powerful IDE. Express has even had a lot of enhancements thrown into it, such as its ability to participate in unit testing and its ability to participate in the ALM lifecycle. So Express is like a first-class citizen of the developer world. Now, there's a lot of great stuff that you get with Ultimate, but Ultimate's not a free download like Express is. We're actually going to be looking at both Visual Studio and Blend. Now, they come together, and some people wonder, which of these programs should I use? You might think at first that they conflict. They don't, okay? Now, the point of both of these tools is to make applications. And both of them can make full-fledged applications from end to end. But they do this just from a different perspective, okay? So Visual Studio is going to allow you to create applications from a developer's perspective, and Blend is going to allow you to create applications from a designer's perspective. Now, if that's not crystal clear, let me help. If you're here today and you're wearing a shirt that looks like this, or like this, or maybe like this, you might want to start with Visual Studio as your primary IDE, and then just use Blend whenever you need to. Now, if you're wearing something more like one of these, start with Blend. Download Blend, and that might be your primary tool, and then you could just use Visual Studio whenever it complements. I could also probably walk into your apartment or your house and tell whether you're a Visual Studio person or a Blend person. Lots of ways to tell, so don't worry about that. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to jump right into a demo. We're going to look at the project templates that you get out of the box with Visual Studio and with Blend. Okay? Now, the point of these project templates is to help you turn your app ideas into apps quickly. It's just a starting point. We by no means want every application to look just like this. All right, so let's go to Visual Studio. And these are the project templates that you're going to get when you go to File, New Project. If you do this from Visual Studio or Blend, the experience will be much the same. If you are actually running Visual Studio Ultimate today, this window, of course, has a lot more applications to it because Visual Studio is still your IDE for creating cloud apps, database apps, web apps, whatever. It's all still in there. If you're running Express, the Express edition is tailored for Windows 8. So all you see is the Windows 8 project templates. You can see that you get an opportunity to choose a language on the left. So I've got C++, C#, JavaScript, Visual Basic. And depending on the language that I choose, I get a little bit different subset of project templates. Now, all of them have the blank application template, the split application template, and the grid. All the languages have that. But then the languages diverge a little bit. You get some things with JavaScript that you don't get with C++, for instance. But what I'm going to do is I'm actually hit cancel here because I've already loaded a number of projects to save us some bandwidth. And I'm just going to start with this blank application, and I'm going to run it. Now, when I run this, I'm set to run on my local machine. So you can see that my entire user interface was replaced with this application. And actually, the very first time I ran a Metro application a long time ago, I was like, now how in the world do I get out of here? Well, the old trusty Alt-F4 always works, and actually that takes you to the start screen, so you can just tap Windows key, and it takes you right back to where you were, okay? So that's how you get in and out of Metro application. So as you could tell, it runs very quickly. I'm actually using Control F5 to start without debugging, so it's just a little bit faster. And you can see that all we have is a black screen with content goes here. So let's go glance at this project template and see what we've got. Now, this is obviously an HTML and JavaScript application. And so we've got what kind of looks like a web structure, right? We've got a default.html file. We've got some things in here that you may not recognize, though. For instance, we've got this package.apex manifest file. Now, this manifest, and we're going to talk more extensively about this in a little while, but it's kind of the meta information for your application. It holds all of the stuff about your application so that you can package it and deliver it to the store. We also have some folders here to hold our CSS and our JavaScript, and we have a folder full of images. Okay? Now I'm just going to glance at the default.html file, and what you see here is just an HTML5 file. There's nothing proprietary about this file. Now there are some references to some things that you might not recognize. Of course, you'll recognize the way that we reference these, because it's just like the way that you reference them in a standard web application. What we're referencing is some Windows 8 specific style sheets and JavaScript so that this can look and act like a Windows 8 application, even though all it does is render a simple thing on the screen. Now, I'm going to go ahead and change this paragraph to an H1 so that we can actually see it. And I want you to notice, I want you to watch the end of my line where I have the closing paragraph tag automatically change for me. Oh, thank you. I'm also, yeah, I can just end there, right? I'm also going to type myself a button. This is standard HTML. I'm just going to say go, Control F5, it runs. And now what we have is Visual Studio and the Metro framework turning this HTML into or rendering this with the Metro platform, with the Windows 8 platform. And you can see it looks like a Windows 8 application in that the background is black, the text is white, a certain font is chosen, the button looks like a Windows 8 button, ready for the finger, ready for touch. Now the reason why it has that is because you already have those style sheets and scripts and stuff like that loaded in this project, okay? So that's the blank template. That's probably enough about the blank template. Let's look at the next one. The next one I'm going to show you is the fixed layout application. Now this one is specific to JavaScript. And the reason why it's specific to JavaScript is because with technologies like XAML, it's kind of built right in. It's not really necessary. But with JavaScript, we've always been working with HTML that kind of flows on the screen in a web page. And if we want to get, if we want to involve more layout, we really have to add tables or add divs or, go work on the style sheet, something like that. Well, Windows 8 gives us a whole bunch of power there. The fixed application, again, looks like a kind of like the blank application, but if I look at the default.html, you'll notice that my content now is inside of a div of class fixed layout, which is inside of a div that has this funny attribute that you probably don't recognize unless you've played with this. This is the data win control that's saying this is not just a div, this is a view box. And so we're implementing this view box technology that you had with XAML, if you are familiar with XAML, that basically makes our application able to snap to whatever display that it's on. And then this fixed layout application or attribute here, this class designation, let's go look at the definition of that class definition. And it's saying I am of the display property is of type -ms-grid. So this is actually introducing grid technology. You can actually take any div and make it a grid by just using this tag here. Now let me take you out to the Windows Development Center. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, I wanted to take you to ietestdrive.com. If you haven't seen ietestdrive.com, this is an application that or a web application that really highlights a lot of the features in Internet Explorer 10 and 9. And it's pretty awesome. It's got some great stuff in here. I'm going to scroll down to the bottom, and I'm going to click the big green build logo. And there's some really great functionality in here. I'm going to utilize it to show off the grid to you. But come here on your own and browse the rest of these CSS properties, because it's an excellent way to learn the CSS properties. So I'm actually just going to click on the grid layout over here on the right. And then you can see the grid with the grid lines rendered so you can see what's going on. And then we've got sliders that are allowing you to change all the CSS properties. And then down here, it actually is giving you the CSS. So if you like what you made, you can just go copy it and paste it into your application. So let's go ahead and say, I want column 2 to be wider. And you can see that it's specified in, these are called fractions. One fraction, and then 4, 1, 1. So now 2 is proportionally larger than the others. And let's make this the third row larger than the others. So I'm defining this grid, and now I can go to my grid items, and I can add a grid item, and I can specify, I want you to be in the second column and in the third row. All right? That's pretty awesome. That means that in the web, for IE10, and for CSS3 compliant browsers, and for Windows 8, we can actually specify these CSS properties, and we can get really a lot more control over where things render inside of a div. All right, that's the fixed layout default project template. Let's look next at the navigation project template. Now, the navigation is another one that exists only in JavaScript, and that's, again, because XAML kind of has this functionality built right in. Now, the navigation one gives you something a little bit different. You get an HTML folder that has all of your individual pages inside, and if you open the default.html, now you don't get any content. Instead, you get this div that says that it is a page control navigator control. So it's going to control the navigation for your application. I've actually modified this one and made a separate project out of it. And I'm going to run this to show you. Actually, I can show you first here that I've created page 1 and page 2. And I've also created their associated CSS properties. And I'm actually just going to run this one and show you what we've got. We now have the first page, which is called home page, is being rendered. And I've created links to the other pages involved. So page 1 and page 2. And if I click on page 1, it takes me to page 1, and it automatically renders a back button so that I can click back and be taken back to the home page. So essentially, this control enables you to do navigation without having to spell it all out for you. It's the recommended method for doing navigation in JavaScript applications. All right? Next is the split. This is one of the project templates that's shared by all the different languages. And I'm just going to show you this one real quick. This is a kind of unique and interesting navigation structure for Metro applications. What you see is this is the hub, and this is kind of a two-tier navigation structure. On the hub, you have a list of groups. And when I choose a group, I get taken to a page that shows me all of the items in that group. And then on the right, I get the details about whichever item is selected. Okay? So this is a unique way to browse certain kinds of content. It's good for things like email, or maybe some simplified news readers or something like that. But you get that one out of the box. Let's actually run the HTML grid project template next. Again, this is one that you get out of the box, and I'm actually just going to run this one. If you want to learn, the grid has a little bit more structure to it, a little bit more functionality that's going on behind the scenes, and if you want to learn how that works, there's a really good article about it in the Dev Center. So again, go to dev.windows.com and just search for the grid template, and you'll be able to see how that works. But I want to introduce to you this navigation structure by showing you this. This is a three-tier navigation structure, and right now we're on the top tier, the hub. So we're looking at, and you're going to recognize this because you see it in a lot of Windows 8 apps. You're going to see a lot of groups, and the content is, all the items are in their group. And if I click on a group title, so for instance, I'm going to click on group title 6, I get taken to the second navigation tier. This is called the sections. So I'm on the group section, now I'm on the group title 6 section. I have an opportunity on the left to see some details about this section. And then on the right, I have an exhaustive list of all the items in that section. Now up on the hub, let me go back for just a second, these lists of items may or may not be exhaustive. This is just all of the items that you want to bubble up to the hub. This is going to be an alive space. People are going to feel like, oh, this is the new stuff, or this is the featured stuff. But then when you dive into a group, this is an exhaustive list of the items. And if I click on one of the items, whether it's from the hub or from this section level, I get taken down to the third tier. That is the detail level. So now we've finished our traversal of this navigation structure. We're at the third level, and we have full details about this one item. Again, we don't want every application to look just like this, but this is an excellent place to start. And just so you know that the project templates are going to give a consistent user experience regardless of the language. So if I choose JavaScript and I make a grid application, to the user, it's going to look identical to if I choose a XAML language, and I make a grid application. And just to drive that point home, I'll run a XAML grid, and you'll see that this looks just the same as the one that I was just showing you that was HTML. All right? So those are the project templates. That's a little introduction to what we have for the project templates. Now, there are a lot of enhancements to the tooling. In Visual Studio and in Blend, there are just a ton of enhancements. And we don't have time to go over all of them today, of course. When you go to dev.windows.com, it does describe for you all the stuff that's new and all the features of the IDEs. But we're here talking about Metro-style applications. So even though there's a ton of enhancements, like the .NET framework is now a 40% smaller install, which is awesome. It also has multi-core garbage collection. We also have, yeah, I know, that's awesome. The await keyword in C#, who's already used that? Thank you. Elegant asynchronicity. Thank you. Thank you as if I made it. We also have the web API in ASP.NET, which has been much acclaimed so far. Really good experiences that web application developers have had with that. So there's all kinds of changes, but you guys are here to learn about Metro-style application development, so we're going to focus on that. So in Visual Studio, we have an app manifest designer. So this package app manifest file that I told you about that represents your application, we have a great UI for editing that file. That's new. We have a lot of editor enhancements, including IntelliSense enhancements, to bring JavaScript into the world of Windows development as a first-class citizen. So great tooling there. If anybody has seen the Web Essentials tools that you could install with Visual Studio 2010, a lot of that functionality, most of that functionality has been pulled into Visual Studio 11, and you get to use that when you're working on HTML, CSS, JavaScript, just a much improved editor experience. We have debugging that's just great. Actually, Michael Palermo in a later session today is going to show you some debugging. We're actually going to step through some JavaScript code. But you get debugging, not only improved debugging for JavaScript, but you can debug locally, you can debug remotely, meaning you can tether a tablet, for instance, to your PC, and on the network you can debug to that tablet. Or you could debug to any other machine that you have attached by way of a network. And you can also debug in the simulator. And in this session, we're going to actually look at the simulator and some of the great functionality that you get with that. We also have, like I said, the simulator and the DOM Explorer, and I'm going to talk about those pretty extensively next. So when you saw me running the project templates just a second ago, you saw Metro coming up and filling the screen. And that's a great way to work. It's really fast. It's on your native machine. You get to see how it works. But for one reason or another, you may not be able to do that. You may need to use the simulator. In other words, for instance, you may not have touch on your device and you want to test the touch. Or maybe you have touch but you don't have multi-touch. Or for whatever reason, you want to use the simulator to emulate some environment for testing. Now, the simulator allows you to do multi-touch emulation. It allows you to emulate various screen sizes and resolutions. So you can pretend you're showing this on a 27-inch monitor and just see what that's going to look like. It also allows you to set your geolocation so you can change your device to make it think that it's in Hawaii. Then you can imagine that you're there with your device. You can also take the screenshots that you're going to need when you are submitting your app to the store. And I say when, not if, right? The DOM Explorer. If you're working on an HTML JavaScript application, the DOM Explorer is going to be reminiscent of the developer tools for Internet Explorer or Chrome or Firebug and Firefox, if you've used that. It's going to give you the complete runtime document object model. Okay? Not only is it going to give you that whole document object model, but it's got that connection where you can actually hover over code and it'll show you, it'll highlight the visual representation of that element. Or you can hover over the element or select the element visually and it'll take you right to the code. Really invaluable tool for making that connection. You can also choose an image and trace its style. So you could, for instance, say, why is this image 200 pixels wide? I didn't specify it in the inline styles. Oh, there's this one style sheet that's saying for images with this class, I want you to be 200 pixels wide. So you get to see it that way. And we can also modify those properties dynamically so we can see them take effect immediately. So, I'm going to show you the simulator and the DOM Explorer live right now. And I'm going to do that in Visual Studio. We're going to actually close out of this project. And I've got another one that you've seen just a second ago called the Contoso Cookbook. This one looks a little bit different. It's at a different stage of development. This is actually the lab that you're going to be walking through after dinner. And it's a really great application. It includes, you know, kind of all of the things that you need to learn about Windows 8 development. So it's a great learning tool. Now, the Contoso Cookbook, I just ran this locally, right? So it's taking up my full screen. But I'm going to Alt-F for that and flip back to Visual Studio, and I'm going to change my deployment target to the simulator. So now I'm running in the I'm going to run it in the simulator. If I hit Control-F5, it opens up what looks kind of like the Windows Phone emulator, if you've seen that before. It just opens up this device and shows me my application. I'm actually, though, going to minimize that real quick, and I'm going to, instead of hitting Control-F5, I'm going to click my button or hit F5 so that I'm actually debugging. Now you can see that behind the scenes, I've got this DOM Explorer showing up. I'll show you that next. So this is the Solution Explorer. I'm sorry, this is the simulator. And while we're in Contoso Cookbook here, I'm actually going to jump us back to the home screen, and I'm going to open the Maps application. Now keep in mind that this does recognize touch. So I have a touch device, and I'm able to touch right on Maps right there. Now, in Maps, I have my mouse, and Maps happens to support me using a mouse to drag around. But for instance, if I go to the start screen, I can't grab the start screen and move it. For the mouse, you've got to use the scroll bar here. Okay, the panning is, the grab and pan is reserved for touch. But I can emulate touch by grabbing this emulation button here, and now it's as if I'm using my finger to grab that and pan it. Okay? So I'm actually emulating touch. Let's go back to the Maps application. And I can, for instance, I can grab this pinch zoom. Can everybody see that I have two targets now? Now I can grab my map, and I can use my scroll wheel, and I can zoom as if I'm doing a pinch zoom. Now I could just use my mouse and do a control wheel like we've heard before. This is great for touch, great for mouse, great for keyboard. So I could just do that, but I can also test my pinch zoom by using this emulation. And finally, I can use rotation. I can emulate rotation using the same wheel. Okay, so let's go back to the Contoso Cookbook. And because the simulator is actually a glimpse at your machine, although I've run this from Visual Studio, I don't have to go back to Visual Studio and run it again when I've closed that application. Instead, I can just scroll all the way to the right, and I can see that Visual Studio has actually installed Contoso Cookbook on this machine. And it's not there. I'm just going to hit go. There it is, Contoso Cookbook. Now, let's see what happens whenever I rotate my device. Boom. Contoso Cookbook reorients itself. Now, to see how you're going to, when you're in the design phase of your application, see how you're going to react to these various states, wait until the session at 1 o'clock where I'm going to be taking you all the way through the Metro design language, and you'll see things like that. You also see this menu here. It's a little small. You can see this menu here gives you a list of various resolutions and various monitor sizes, so you can emulate those. And finally, if I go to the Maps and click on the globe, I can enter some coordinates like 19.5 and negative 156. Does everybody know where that is? Hawaii. So there, and now all I have to do is say, go to my location. And here I am in Kona, Hawaii, where they have some of the best coffee in the world. All right, so that's the simulator. Now, remember I said that behind the scenes, I actually have the DOM Explorer showing. So let me run this again. I actually have the DOM Explorer. Now, this is a live connection between the two. Notice when I'm hovering over this code, it's highlighting some stuff in the simulator. And it works the other way as well. So I can click on Select Element, and then I can, for instance, click on that image, and it brings me to that code in the DOM Explorer. Yeah, this is a really helpful feature. Thank you. Go ahead. And watch, as I hover over these different elements, it tells me all about those elements in the simulator. So I know right where I'm at. Very useful. The XAML guys don't get that. Stab. Okay, that's the simulator and the DOM Explorer. That kind of completes our brief tour of Visual Studio. A lot of it, Visual Studio, you guys are going to know intuitively because it's just an evolutionary step. Next thing that we're going to look at is Blend. Blend is pretty incredible, the additions that have been introduced. Now, some of you might be familiar with Expression Blend. Expression Blend revolutionized Windows application development by giving us an accurate design surface for creating XAML UI components. You could then take those components and pass those to a developer who could open them in Visual Studio and continue on with his development, writing his code, right? That's Expression Blend. Now, Expression Blend is the visual design tool for Windows applications, for Windows XAML applications. Blend is the visual design tool for Metro-style applications, okay? So Blend is part of Visual Studio, and it's made for Metro. It's designed to work seamlessly with Visual Studio. The same project file can be opened in either, even simultaneously. So your designer and your developer can have the same project open, and when one of them changes a file, the other one gets a pop-up that says, hey, this file changed, do you want to update it? Yes, we're good to go. Okay? So now your guy who thinks like the polo shirt gets to use Blend, and your guy who thinks like the Three Wolf Moon shirt gets to use the developer at the same time. This actually worked similarly with Expression Blend, but it's much improved now, and you'll see why. Now, Blend is going to allow you to modify Metro applications, whether you're choosing HTML and JavaScript or C# and XAML. But it's important to note that the XAML support is currently considered to be at preview phase as opposed to beta, okay? So the HTML is considered to be at beta, and the XAML is considered to be at preview. Also, the Visual Studio gives you some XAML functionality built right in. It was like that before, but now it has a shared architecture with Blend. So you'll notice more consistency when you're working with XAML files between Visual Studio and Blend. Now, the coolest things about Blend, I'm going to tell you about right now. The first one is that you are designing in execution. You get to see this in just a second, but this is the part that I would call phenomenal, and I'll save that word for one thing in my demonstration, and this is it. It's phenomenal. You actually get a live version of the document object model available to you right there in Blend, and you get to interact with the application while it's running, so you can actually change its state because, you know, your user isn't just going to sit there. He's going to click on something like the chicken and rice in the Contoso cookbook and see details on the chicken and rice. So he's going to change the state of his application. You also want to be able to trace these properties just like you were doing with the DOM Explorer and figure out why this image has the width that it has. So enough about talking Blend. Let's actually open Blend and see what I'm talking about. So I'm going to go back to Visual Studio, to the Contoso cookbook I already have open. And I'm going to show you how easy it is for me to take a developer's perspective and turn it into a designer's perspective. I right-click on my project and I choose Open in Expression Blend. Bam! Now Blend opens the same exact project. And what's happening here may not look incredible at first unless you recognize what's going on. But this is incredible. It's actually executing my application. You see these images? Those images exist in my images folder. And those recipes, Chinese salad, that's inside of a JavaScript array, inside of a JavaScript file. Okay, so no more like wondering what this is going to look like with real application data. You're looking at real application data. It's actually running my application right now. That's phenomenal. And I have this live DOM on the left that gives me not just a you guys have seen trees like this before where you get to see the objects that you have on your design surface, but this is not just the design time objects on my design surface. This is the runtime objects. So as I expand this, I get to see the actual objects that have been rendered by the code. And I can actually, I'm going to choose this, I'm going to choose the fried rice and sausage, and when I click on this, notice it didn't highlight it yet. That's because it needs to drill into the UI because we have a lot of components nested here. So I click again, and now I've told it that's what I want. I want that image. So I have it highlighted. So even though my application is running, I'm clicking on an object and getting handles around it. Now, I want to show you how the visual design surface is tied together with the live DOM. So in the live DOM, you can see that it's actually selected this, it's called WinBind 6, because it doesn't even exist in design time. This was generated on the fly. And I can say, you know what, I actually don't want to select the image, I actually want to select the little container that contains the image. And these little pop-ups tell me all about it. Okay, so I've now chosen that container. Now watch this. I want this image to be a little bit narrower. I'm going to grab this handle and I'm going to drag it. But think about this. If you're a web application developer, how would it know what CSS property to change when I change the width of this? So I want to tune you into this CSS properties on the top right here. By default, it's got highlighted the winning properties. So it's going to be intelligent about which inherited property it changes when you change it visually. I can get specific and I can hover over these and I can say, oh, this one is in my CSS file. It's inheriting it because it's an image that's called, it has a class on it that's win-item. And I can click on that. And now I'm specifying that class, that style rule explicitly. And you can see it's gotten handy. It's shown me in green all the other images on the page that also inherit from the same thing and are going to change whenever I drag this. So let me grab this and drag it. And there you are. It's actually changing the template itself, and in execution, it's re-rendering and showing me my live application. Sorry, even if it's just me. I'm just really appreciative for this technology. It's awesome. Now, let's say I want to change the size of the fried rice and sausage, actually for all images. I want to change the size of the image in the details pane as well. So if I click on this, it thinks I'm designing. It wants me to select it, right? I want to act like a user, and I want to choose that image and go into the details. So up here on the top right, I'm actually going to choose interactive mode. And now all my Chrome goes away, all my panels and toolbars and everything, and it's like I'm the user. And if I click there, now it takes me to that other page. It's changed my application state, taken me to a different page, and now I can click on interactive mode again, depart interactive mode, but it saved my state. So I'm still on the details page. Now I can click on this image a couple times until it's highlighted. I can grab it, and I can change the size of that one, designing in execution. Very fun. Okay, we have seen, thank you. So we've seen Visual Studio, and we've seen Blend, and what powerful tools these are. But I want you guys to also recognize the power in this tool, the Windows Development Center at dev.windows.com. So I'm going to actually give you a very brief tour of this, just show you what's there. You've got learning resources, design resources. You can download all the tools and SDKs. You can actually download individual samples. There are literally hundreds of sample applications that you can use. You can download all of them at once, and you can go into Visual Studio or Blend and just browse the templates from the help menu directly. So you can just open a sample from there. You also have the community forums, okay? So if you go to dev.windows.com, notice on the left you have Metro style applications. That's the section that you want to be in. Dive in to learn, dive in for resources, dive in to download, to look at the samples. That's where you want to go, okay? That's all I've got for you today. I really hope you guys go to dev.windows.com and enjoy your Windows 8 development.
Thanks, Jeremy. Okay, so one more thing before we go off to lunch. Now we're going to do Hello World. So I'd like to introduce you to Alice Pang. And Alice is going to walk us through Visual Studio and so that you can see exactly what you get out of the box. Ready to go, Alice?
Not quite.
Okay.
Let me use this one.
Okay, so I'll make two announcements while Alice is getting her demo running. Okay, so remember what I talked about before, that whole thing about being on live stream? Yeah, so now there's actually more people on live stream. Now, I know you saw the WackusCon application, but I may have to turn that around later and do a Whack at the Audience application. Okay, so if you're on live stream, it's actually kind of killing the network. So unless you really, really need it, like if you're sitting way back behind the pole back there, you probably need it to be able to see things. Yeah, he actually probably has it running back there. Running yet? Not yet?
Yes.
Okay. So on machine number two, Alice is ready to go. Got it.
Cool. All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Alice Peng, and just by a show of hands or cheers, how many of you are excited about Windows 8? Great. Well, I have to give you a disclaimer. I'm not actually a doctor, so if you faint from all the excitement, I can't help you. I'm actually a developer evangelist based right here out of Los Angeles. So how many of you are from Southern California? Nice. So I'm the one you're going to have to impress if you want to get invited to these invite-only app accelerator events. So as you can already tell, we're really excited about Windows 8. You've seen some great demos and presentations from Jerry Nixon, from MJ, from Jeremy Foster, and of course, from our showcase. So you're probably thinking, man, I'm ready to get started and dive into my first Windows 8 application. Well, I have great news for you. You're going to get your chance after dinner. You saw previews of the Contoso cookbook app from Jerry, Jeremy, and MJ. And while not everyone will win this awesome Samsung 7 series slate, everyone will go home with a great cookbook. So, you know, everyone here is a winner already. Well, the Contoso cookbook app is a really great app because you're going to learn how to build this from scratch, just with a few assets by leveraging the developer tools that Jeremy just told you. And it's a great app because it contains a lot of elements that are essential for a great content-centric Metro-style application. So in building this app completely from scratch, you'll learn how to get familiar with the Windows 8 Metro app. You'll learn how to implement share and search contracts. For example, if I wanted to share my favorite recipe with my friends via email, you'll learn how to implement photo and video capture. For example, if you wanted to brag about your latest masterpiece, or in my case, my latest kitchen disaster. Let's just put it this way. The last time I tried to cook, I stuck a frozen chicken in the oven and wondered why it was pink. And the only way I know how to cook pasta is in the microwave. But let's not go into that. And you'll also learn how to implement notifications. For example, if you wanted to create a timer. And as MJ showed you earlier, leverage the Windows Store in-app purchase and trial APIs. For example, if I wanted to purchase Italian recipes. So you're going to learn how to do a lot of great things. You're going to learn how to do a lot of great things through this app. And right now, this app is running in HTML and JavaScript, but you'll actually get the option to do this in HTML and JavaScript or XAML and C#. So I'm just going to, I mean, looking at all this food, how many of you are hungry? Just looking at the cookbook. Yeah, you're excited for lunch, right? Well, I'm going to spare you having to sit too long before lunch by building an app completely from scratch in a matter of minutes. And you're going to already be able to see a pretty attractive looking app. How many of you would be impressed if I could do this in under 10 minutes? All right. So first, I'm going to launch Visual Studio. Go to File, New Project. And because I showed you the full app using JavaScript, now I'm going to use C#. So as Jeremy showed you, there are a number of different templates that you can use that already have a sample data source. So I'm going to start with the grid application and name it Contoso Cookbook. And now when I build and run it on my local machine, you see a timer for a splash screen, and then it's a Contoso Cookbook app. I'm saying it really fast because it's one word right now. Sorry, my jokes probably aren't that funny. Okay, so you'll see that you already get the sample data, the different groups for the recipe groups, and then when I click in, ideally, these will be filled with recipes. But this still doesn't really look like the Contoso cookbook app. So in order to get back to my desktop, I can use the shortcut Windows D because Visual Studio happens to be running on my desktop. I'm going to stop. And now I'm going to leverage some of the assets. So first I'm going to add a more exciting looking splash screen and some logos. From my images folder. All right, that's the first step. Secondly, I showed you that Contoso Cookbook is one app, one word. So I'm going to change the name and make it two words in the app.xaml file. And as Jeremy mentioned, the app manifest is everything that Windows 8 needs to know about your application. This is embedded into every application. So I'm going to change the display name, add a description, call this the Contoso Cookbook application. And as you can see, later when you have to integrate webcam functionality for your photo and video capture for bragging about your latest creation, you can enable this here. So at this point, I'm going to add a couple of recipe files. So I'm going to add a couple of folders for data and images. And then for data, I'll add the recipe.txt file. And if you actually look into this file, you'll see that it's simply JSON encoded data for your recipes and recipe groups. So I'm going to go back to lab assets, go to data, and feel free to follow along since I see a lot of you have your laptops out. For a data model right now, it's using the sample data source, so I'm going to use the recipe data source. And another quick way when you're developing, when you're running through these labs, you can actually simply drag and drop. So if I wanted to put something in the images folder, for example, pictures of all this delicious looking food, simply going to drag and drop. So now I actually have to tie this data. First, I'm going to go to app.xaml.cs. And first, I'm going to add this field in property. So private recipe data source. And I'll see that my trusty friend IntelliSense decided to join the party. Get return recipes. Now I have to instantiate recipes. Comment out the or delete the sample data that it's currently populated with. And you can either load the recipe data from Azure or you can load it locally. And in this example, I'm going to load it locally. So I'm going to use load local data async rather than load remote data async. And now I'll see that I have an error because I'm using my sample data, but I'm going to replace that with recipes. And the last thing I have to do is change my group details and item details for the recipes and the recipe groups to the recipe data. So I'm going to change this to recipe data group. And then my item detail page for my recipes to recipe data item. All right, so earlier you saw a skeleton of an app, and now I'm going to either hit F5 or click the run button, and now you'll see something that looks like a pretty attractive looking cookbook app. Thank you. So guess what? You'll get to do this after dinner because we are so excited to have you come and code with us. We're excited to have you here, and we're excited to see what great Windows 8 app ideas you're going to have. So if you're based out of Southern California or anywhere, feel free to tweet to me or hit up my blog, and you can email me, and I want to hear about your ideas. So with that, lunch is in the back, and enjoy lunch and enjoy the rest of the event. Thank you.